Welcome to Happy Horror Time. This is a big day for us. Not only is it Halloween, but we've got some announcements. This is our 20th episode.
Yes.
And in honor of that, we decided to do a bit of a relaunch. First off, I'm very happy to announce that our special guest, who has been at this with me since the beginning, is now my official co-host.
Insert applause.
Because, you know, we have that. So here he is to tell you more about what where we're taking the Happy Horror Time, Matt Emmer, my friend.
Oh, my friend, Tim. Well, first off, thank you for letting me, not only for like the last few years, just letting me join in with this, but now making me an official co-host. It's the honor of my lifetime.
You know what, Matt? I am so excited because, like, honestly, talking to you, there's no shortage of conversation ever.
Look.
Until now.
What if I just say silent? No, you're right. And the thing is what the listeners probably don't know is that Tim and I talk like this normally. Like, that's why doing this podcast is so much fun. It doesn't feel like we're doing anything other than just talking about
And we're
stuff.
Getting paid for this.
Tons of money, guys.
My paycheck
just cleared. Those 17 cents a week.
Magic.
No, but what I did want to make one little announcement to everyone. As Tim said, we're really excited because we are doing sort of a relaunch. And as this is Halloween, we thought it was the perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
And because it's episode 20. So a few things. You'll probably notice that we have a new logo with both Tim and I, and we hope you enjoy it. Anyone who loves horror is going to notice it.
And it's from what film, Matt?
I mean, if you don't know the film, you probably aren't listening to this podcast, to be honest. Obviously, we're parodying The Shining, and I want to give a special shout out to my friend and the very talented designer, Joey Campos, who did the logo for us, designed it, did the illustration. He's incredibly talented. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we just started, Tim had a Facebook page for Happy Horror Time. We just started an Instagram page at Happy Horror Time. And a Twitter at Happy Horror Time and a Gmail address. So if you ever want to email us just like suggestions of horror movies to watch, if you loved something, if you hated something,
or
if you
just
want
to send nudes.
If you want to send dick pics to Tim, to get dick pic.
That was a
tongue twister.
I will not accept them.
Of course.
But I'll look at all of them first.
Tim is a man of God.
That's true.
No, if you want to email us, email happyhorrortime@gmail.com. So anyway, so we're going to have an Instagram page, a Twitter, an email address. And in addition, as you probably noticed, if you've listened or if this is your first episode, over the last 3 years, you know, I don't know, our release schedule hasn't been so regular.
It's consistent.
Very consistently not.
I know. And you know what? I admire the people that can, keeping up a podcast is hard work.
Really hard work. And I think now that Tim and I, like, we really want to take this more seriously, we're going to be releasing more episodes on a regular schedule. And the most exciting part is we are reaching out.
We're going to branch out.
We are going to reach out to celebrities from some of our favorite horror movies and do Zoom interviews with them. So every few episodes, you will get an interview of us with a good horror star, someone we love, someone we've seen, someone we appreciate.
Hopefully they'll say yes and do it.
Yeah, exactly. We've got George Clooney lined up. We got Brad Pitt. No.
Jennifer Aniston.
No, the cool part about the horror genre is there are so many stars that maybe they were in one horror movie, maybe they were in 10, but everyone loves them, and we're going to reach out to all of them. So we just have a lot of high hopes for this podcast, so we hope that whether you just started listening or you're going to start listening, stick with us because good things are coming.
Yes. Happy 20th episode to you, Matthew
Happy
Emmert.
20th episode to you, Tim, the original founder of Happy Horror Time.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you. Let's be honest. Matt is the person that keeps this train running because let me tell you, I'm a slacker.
Well, but that's not exactly true because Tim started, I like how we're just giving each other compliments.
Keep going.
No, Tim started Happy Horror Time as a Facebook page and like a YouTube channel, right?
Yes,
and
but you know what? YouTube's even harder to keep up than a podcast.
No, it is. But back in 2012, and here's the thing. The Facebook page has like 1,000 people or something.
Yes.
That is not little. No, but really, like, for me, that sounds like a lot. And, you know, maybe in a few months we'll have 2,000 and 3,000.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. 5,000 by the end of Halloween.
By the end of this episode, when you turn off this episode, go to Facebook, doubled.
Yeah. You know what? Just like that movie that we did, I don't know, episode 16, 17, called Spree.
Yes.
And we talked about the people that we don't like and they're like living for likes. We are not those people, just FYI. We're actually just going to do a good show and hopefully people like it.
That's the thing. We actually aren't, but obviously, like, we love to make this into something as big as it can be. And, yeah, you know, that takes reaching out to people. So if you do know people who either like horror, like listening to two gay guys make jokes about horror or anything, mm-hmm, you please tell them about it. But yeah, we do this because we really love these movies and we love talking to each other,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay, so thank you for letting us get all of that out of the way.
Yes.
That is very nice of all of our billion listeners.
All billions. And happy Halloween, of course.
Happy Halloween. I hope everyone's dressing up and being pandemic free.
Yes. No parties, no trick-or-treating, but little tiny get-togethers and
Skittles, Reese's.
And yeah, I hope everyone has a find some fun way to, because can you, Tim, can you just tell them, because now my place is decorated.
Okay, let me just tell you about Matt's place. It is decorated from the outside to the inside. We're talking lights, posters, two huge, there's a Michael Myers, there's a Jason, there's pumpkins and the Exorcist and Michael Myers and aliens and Medusa and skeletons.
I just
skeletons.
Had an idea, Tim. Why don't we take a picture of us next to someone for the Instagram page? Oh my God, we're learning. We are learning.
You know what? Move over. Who's the most famous person on Instagram?
Oh God, you're asking
me wrong.
I don't know. Still like... Justin Bieber. No, God, I'm so old. Who is it? Is it Addison Rae?
Baby, she's all that.
That's TikTok, right?
Yeah,
who's
I don't
Instagram
know.
Famous?
Or I have
ever?
No idea.
I don't know. Move over, fill in the blank influencers.
Yes. Well, hopefully we'll influence you to decorate like Matt.
I mean, the thing is, I usually have a huge, anyone who knows me knows I throw a huge annual Halloween party, and this year, obviously, I can't, so I decided to just put all my decorations in my little one-bedroom apartment, so it is filled with figures and ghosts and stuff, but we have all the lights on so that we can feel extra spooky while we're doing
this. Spooky season!
Spooky! It's spooky season! But you're right, I'm sure people are like, okay, they want to hear us get to move. So if you've never listened to Happy Horror Time, we usually try to watch some pretty current horror movie releases that you can stream, or like I said, we'll try to interview someone. But
suggestions, like, please suggest who you want us to talk to, because we'll do it. We'll try to.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, hey, we will reach out to anyone, and we are just having fun. Like, we're not here to criticize. Obviously, we'll give you our
opinions.
Well, I'm
here to change the world.
Yeah, we're not here to change the world. We're just here to have fun and talk about a genre we love.
Yeah. Which is ballet dancing Nutcracker.
Exactly. So on to our first selection.
Yes.
The Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker. Christmas. No, you want to start?
I can just tell them we decided in honor of Halloween. We thought we'd do horror. No.
Yeah.
We thought everyone probably who's a horror fan noticed that Blumhouse released 4 new horror movies this month. So we are going to talk about 2 of them today.
Yes.
It's a very Blumhouse Halloween.
Okay. So I'm going to say this. One I thought was great and in my top 5 of the year.
Ooh.
And then the other one, it was good. I didn't hate it at that. Thank you so much. Follow us on Instagram. Bye. I don't want to say I hated it because I didn't hate such a strong.
Well, how about this? Which do you want to start with? The loved or the liked? I feel like let's start strong.
Let's start strong. Okay.
And again, remember, we only watched 2 of the 4. So there are 2 others that we'll probably get to at some point. But these 2 we picked, the first one of which is
The Lie.
The Lie. Starring
Joey King.
Mm-hmm, who you probably noticed in a little ditty called Wish Upon with Ryan Phillippe that came out a couple years ago, remember?
I do remember that movie, but the only thing I remember about that is Ryan Phillippe shirtless. That's it. That's it, my only takeaway. I don't remember anything else.
See, what I remember is that he was the dad in it, and it made me feel old because I felt like I'm younger than him, but not by much. So when he's the dad, it makes me feel old.
Oh, this is the other thing I remember from that movie. Who was the girl in Stranger Things that... She was the Stranger Things girl, and like she had like no part.
Barb.
So Barb was in it. That I also remember Wish that.
Upon. Yeah, in the elevator. Wasn't there an elevator scene?
Yeah.
Anyway, wrong movie. The Lie, starring. I will say this. Blumhouse, think what you want. Blumhouse is getting some pretty big actors, I would say. Like for a studio that does mostly horror movies, they're getting a lot of mainstream actors. So for this one, it stars Peter Skarsgård, Marielle Enos.
Wow,
from
Matt.
The Killing.
I am so impressed that you could say.
I literally looked at that 5 minutes before.
I know,
this.
But that's, I couldn't pronounce any of those names.
Did you watch The Killing? I forgot.
No.
See, I feel like.
But I would.
I loved The Killing. And it's like, first two seasons especially. But, and Peter Skarsgård, what is he known for?
He was
for?
In Kinsey. Did you ever see Kinsey?
Like the sex there, scale?
Yeah.
Guy?
Okay,
oh.
So like, he is buck naked in that.
Oh,
really? FYI.
How old was he then?
I don't know. I think it was like a good 10 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, I've never been like, ooh, Kinsey.
I mean, Peter Skarsgård is not my first go-to when I think who I want to see naked in a movie, but
no.
I wouldn't, you know, pass it up.
I mean, let me just say this. Everything I'm talking about now, it's because I've been cooped up and it's been seven months in a pandemic. So
penis?
I'm like, I can't even like, there's no even hugs in my life anymore.
Oh, well, Tim, I know. I haven't even given you a hug since before March.
I know. I think we like did that. What's that awkward like elbow thing?
It's like the elbow COVID thing.
Yeah.
Normally I would call it like the straight guy hello, but it's even worse than the straight
right.
guy hello. The straight guy hello, you at least pat on the back a
yeah,
little.
It's like when you text a guy and they just write back, K. That's what this pandemic is.
But getting back to the lie. So I guess I'll set the scene real quick.
Yes.
So it stars Peter Skarsgård and Marielle Enos as the parents of a teenager, Joey King. And she's a – is she – what is the sport?
She's going on a retreat, and I want to say it's for, like, ballet dancing.
Let's say – yes. I think it's some sort of, like, ballet camp or something. Anyway, like, dad and mom are divorced. Dad's taking her to this retreat in the snow, and they pick up her friend who is, like, this sexy girl who's flirting with the dad.
Which is – I thought that was going to go somewhere and be more creepy because the dad's like, I'm, like, a sexy musician. Again, not sexy, but you get the idea.
But, you know, for a dad, that's what I'm saying, even though everyone our age is a dad. So they pick up her friend and she's in the back scene. She's obviously flirting with the dad and Joey King is obviously not happy with it. So they stop in the middle of like a snowstorm because the girls have to pee and the girls run off into the forest and you're like, okay, what the hell is going to happen here? And then
the dad chases after them and sees the Joey King on the bridge, right?
Yes, on a bridge. And she's like crying and all distraught. And she says, and there's like, where's the friend? And she basically admits that they got in an argument and she pushed her off the bridge and the girl fell and is now gone.
Right. I mean, it looked freezing. I mean, it looks like there's no way you could have survived that. But her, it was so crazy to me. She was like, she's a bitch.
Yeah, I know. But like, and I remember we're watching this and it's like, first off, like, you know, I've gotten in fights with my friends all the time. Like, I don't push them off a bridge. But anyway, and so you can't even, the bridge, and you can't even find the body. And like, Peter Skarsgård's like, oh my God, my daughter just committed murder. And they go home. And from that point moving forward, the creepiest part is that the daughter looks like she has no remorse.
Yeah, she's like passive, just like this did not affect her, which I thought that was the scariest part
of really
the movie.
It really was. Anytime someone does anything, some horrible crime, and isn't affected by it, so the dad, of course, is freaking out. He ends up telling the mom, even though they're divorced.
By the way, that took a long time. I was like, why isn't he just telling her?
I think because... and I'm just making an assumption.
It's building. That,
well,
it's a builder.
This, also, the second you tell someone about a murder, they become an accomplice if they help you cover it up. But he knew the parents need to cover this up. They don't want their poor, you know, daughter going to jail. But even the parents, did you notice even they were bothered by how nonchalant she was about
it? You know what that is, Matt? It's unconditional love. That is what
except
that is.
For sight. It is weird, though. And so anyway, so the movie's proceeding and the parents are going through like incredible stress and trauma of like, what do they have to, who do they have to lie to and covering up as the daughter's like, you know, having snacks, watching movies, like nothing. And you're thinking, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I did not. Those scenes were, I think, were the hardest because, like, how do you protect someone that you hate?
Or are supposed to love but are scared of. Like,
yeah.
They're starting to wonder, like, what's going on with their daughter? Anyway, then the daughter's friend's dad comes over. He's looking for her. And they realize that they can spin a tale about the girl who was killed being abused by her father.
Right. Well, going back, when they first picked her up, she did have a tiny, tiny...
She had a bruise, right?
Like, on her chin. So it's like, I still don't know if... Because we do spoil everything on this, so just get ready.
Yes, we forgot to say our tagline. We spoil everything.
We're just going to go right to the ending.
If you're 20 minutes in this and you haven't realized...
We're going to tell you everything. So you're going to... When you're done with the podcast, you're like, oh...
You're like,
but you
can
still
watch
the
movie and see how accurate they are, because I can guarantee you we're probably 65% accurate.
Right. We got a D minus. Thank you.
No, yeah, what you were saying, So the daughter, the friend who was killed, had a bruise, and so the parents who were trying to cover this up are asking Joey King, like, did the father beat him? And they basically realized we can point suspicion toward
right.
the father.
Which, and they were like loving it. Like when she was talking to the cop, they're like, they were kind of like, yes, yes.
Yes, yeah. A cop, you know, starts to, and the parents start trying to plant little seeds in the detective who's looking for, because now the girl's missing, looking for the girl, and they're trying to plant the seeds that like the dad was abusive. And basically they're trying to paint a picture, which as the audience, we don't know if it's even true, but to blame the murder on this father who we don't know if he abused her. We don't know what was going on. We just know they're just looking for someone to get the blame off their daughter.
Yeah. And I actually liked those scenes. Like my favorite, well, no, I can't say my favorite scene, but like when he's like, she's at the doctor's office, and then the dad, like, she walked outside.
Oh, yes, exactly. So they're caught in a bunch of lies. But again, like, so as it's moving forward, the dad is realizing that this family is covering something up. He thinks they're just protecting his daughter who, like, ran away, but he starts to catch them in lies and everything. And even the detectives are starting to wonder, like, what is going on here?
And then they trace the phone to the dad's downtown apartment, and then the parents decide to take that cell phone and bury it in their...
Oh, yes. So, yeah. Oh, you're getting to that point. Yeah. So, yeah.
Did I jump too much?
No. That's a good next point, because, like, the detectives trace, I think it was the last ping or whatever they call it when you get on your cell phone, to near where the dad's office was. So they knew. They're like, did you see the girl on the day of her death? And I think he said no, or I don't know. Either way, so they're like, oh, my God, we got to do something. So they still have the cell phone. It's turned off. And they go to dad's place to, like, plant evidence.
This,
like,
for me, it was the hardest scene to watch, because the dad was in the backyard. They're like, he's trying to bury his cell phone, and the light kept coming on and off. And then she gets out of her car, goes up to the house, and was like, come on, we got to get out of here. And then the dad comes around the corner and sees both parents in the front yard. Like, nothing is more
suspicious.
Yeah,
we're getting to, like, the big crazy scene, because, so remember, at this point, these very desperate parents have gone to, like, incredible lengths, not just to protect their daughter, but to literally, like, frame someone else. And they get caught by the dad trying to bury the cell phone. And the dad, like, gets in a fight with Peter Skarsgård, because he's like, what are you doing? Da, 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 da. The parents get away.
They're by a pond. And doesn't Skarsgård take the dad's head and put it in the water?
Oh, I forgot that. So
he's drowning him.
Yes. It gets to a point where they get in a fight, and then Peter Skarsgård pushes the poor dad's head in the river. And for a while, and you think he's going to drown. I'm like, oh, my God, now they're going to commit murder to cover up this murder?
Yeah, one lie leads to – it's a tangled web.
Exactly. Suddenly, Mariel Eno saves the guy from drowning, but then there's the twist.
They get in their car.
And you're thinking, okay, they've attacked this poor guy. We don't know if he's innocent or what. They're going to go away. They see the dad get up, and then she goes and runs him down with her car.
Which, I mean, as a viewer, it is not easy viewing, because you're just like, good intentions.
Do you think, this is what I'm wondering, why did she stop her husband from drowning him if she was just going to run him down with the car?
I don't think there's a split decision? It's all split decisions. Like, I'm sure he didn't want to drown him. I'm sure she didn't want to hit him. But they were like, what alternative do we have?
They were in so deep. And again, it's called the lie. It's like one lie leading to another. And they realized that with this dad still alive, and now having seen them framing him or trying to plant evidence, they're not going to get out of this. So they literally run over the dad.
Blood all over their car.
I think they left the body there, right?
They did.
Yes. They go home, but here's the big twist, everyone. They go home, and as, you know, and they go home, and the car's messed up. They are totally traumatized. They've just committed murder. And into the garage walks Joey King's friend, completely alive, Nothing was wrong.
And she just said, I wanted to meet with my boyfriend.
She says, hey, sorry about all that. I just wanted to meet with my boyfriend. Meaning, just so if you haven't kept up with this, because it's, I know we've said a lot. The daughter pretended to murder her friend so she could get a few days away to spend with her fucking boyfriend.
I mean, that A is friendship.
Well, that's friendship, but all I remember, but I was look at like...
I mean, think about how much breeze and pushback she had to get from her parents and then her friend's dad and just like... And then, okay, so now I'm assuming the dad's dead, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he was.
I mean,
think
drowning and getting hit by a car and blood all over the car.
And the parents just look stunned. And the movie ends with you hear police sirens on their way to their place.
They're all hugging, right?
Yeah, well, the police sirens were coming to...
But they had that one final conversation with the daughter. Like, they came in out of the garage, and they were... She's like, oh, my God!
They came in after finding out that the friend was not dead, and the daughter is like, I'm so sorry for lying to you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And the parents don't say anything. They do hug her, but they don't say anything because they're, you know, realizing they literally went to the extent of killing this girl's father to what they thought was cover up their daughter's murder, and it was just a fake... It was just a lie.
That's a great movie.
I mean, no, but here's the thing. And then it ends with you hear the police sirens coming. Obviously, these parents now are going to be taking. And I guess what made me angry is like, look.
The daughter.
I was going to say, we all know some teenagers can be dumb. But most teenagers, like, that was such a, like,
an extreme.
Everyone's lied. But weren't there other things they could have done to get her some time with her boyfriend other than pretending that she was murdered?
Yeah. I mean, let me just say this. I'm glad I didn't grow up in a time where I had to pretend like my friends were murdered, too.
What time was that? That's the thing I was wondering.
I was a closeted gay guy, so I wasn't dating anybody.
I mean, the most I would have lied about, I remember, was, and this is before cell phones, it was like, hey, sorry I didn't call, but I couldn't get to a phone, even though I could have. Like, so that's not why I could be late.
I think
that's
the most,
only reason I would lie.
The
like
most
that.
Trouble I ever got in was, I remember we were watching Pulp Fiction. It wasn't over yet. And I thought, oh, I'll just finish it, and then I'll tell my parents that the roads were snowy.
And that's what took long?
Yeah, so
you're
I worried.
A horrible human being.
No, but I made my parents worry.
I mean, and that's the thing. I've made my parents worry, too, but I was thinking...
Because I didn't have a cell phone. I was out in the middle of Ohio.
First off, I never could have been the Joey King character. I never could have pretended to commit murder. I just couldn't have. I don't even think I would have been able to do that. And I also can't imagine I'd be like, hey, friend, can you just pretend to push me off a bridge so I can get some time away?
Oh, but there was, going back, there was that one mess up that the police found her, what's that called?
The inhaler.
Inhaler.
Inhaler, yeah.
So all the signs pointed to the daughter.
That's the thing. Like, it was so obvious the daughter and the dad were somehow involved in the disappearance. And at no time did the daughter just come out and say, you think about what their end game is. Like, when the kids were figuring this out, they're like, hey, pretend that you push me off a bridge and then people will be looking for me. I can get time with my boyfriend. They didn't think that people would be suspected of murder.
Another thing that threw us off is the mom had like a deep, like, daydream or nightmare. And they, like, she actually pictured
the dead body of the friend
frozen in the snow.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well,
there's a part of you when you're watching, cause the mom does have a daydream of a dead body. But that, again, that's her paranoia because she thinks her daughter committed murder. And so she's thinking about, oh my God, the body's there. It's this. I mean, here's the thing, all in all. And I feel like you agree with this. Like, I thought it was done really well.
Me too, because I didn't think it was Blumhouse. Like it was like a Lifetime movie on steroids.
Yes.
With good actors.
Perfect explanation. Like, here's the thing, it's not your mainstream horror. It's not Blumhouse doing, you know, Halloween or
zombies, nothing,
or like Fantasy Island or some weird crazy thing. It's a lot more subtle. It's more psychological.
I would have loved to have seen The Lie a thousand times more than that Fantasy Island bullshit.
Well, and also, what was that Truth or Dare? Awful.
That was
awful
terrible.
Movie.
Like, though The Lie should have been theatrical.
I mean, again, it had the cast to do it. I think it would have been if it wasn't COVID right now. But And again, any frustration you're hearing from us is more with the story. And if a story can elicit like these types of responses, it's obviously effective. And so we are affected by it. It's like, yeah, we were totally into it, like angry at the daughter.
But there was a couple of times I couldn't watch the screen. And that takes a lot. I mean, like, I just was so uncomfortable because the dad, I didn't want the parents to get caught. Oh, I'm so popular. I got to text.
No, I was like, wow, loud text
I am just,
message.
Listen, I can't explain it. I'm really
Let's
popular.
Let's see if the mic picks that up.
We'll see. Anyway, I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, it was good acting. Again, for the first part, I almost, when Joey King was, her character was so nonchalant, part of me was like, is that bad acting? But actually, it's not. It's exactly what the acting was supposed to be. She was playing a bratty teenager who said this ridiculous lie, and the reason she wasn't remorseful is because there was nothing to be remorseful about. She hadn't killed her friend. It was all a big scam.
And
you know?
By the way, she's 15 in the movie, but in reality, she's 21.
Fun is she
fact.
Really?
Yeah.
She still looks really young.
She does. She does.
She does. But so does, like, I feel like Peter Skarsgård has to be way older than Mariel Enos.
Well,
am I even pronouncing
you know
that?
What?
Enos? Enos? I don't know.
I think it's just because he recently lost his hair a little bit. And I just feel like
because he's been around a while, maybe I true. Haven't seen her. Either way, all good acting. It was like, it just, I mean, suspense in that you're just going from time. We did, I will say, we did call it because Tim and I watched it together. And we did sort of maybe two-thirds of the way through. One of us said, like, what if she's really not dead? Because, like, so meaning it's not that the twist is so big. It's that you just can't believe that they would have thought of it this way and that the parents would have gone to this extent to cover.
But, you know, as granted, I don't have any children. But I think I would have done the same thing. I mean, I think you'd protect your daughter as much as you could.
And that's the thing. I know I'm knocking the parents, but my parents would have done the same. That's yeah. Well, wait a second. Caveat. My parents would have started the same, I think, by trying to, like, do everything to cover it up and whatever. But my parents would not plant evidence in someone. I don't think they would go
those
proactively
lengths.
To blame it on someone else. They would
I can't
just
see
make
your
sure.
dad drowning another man.
No. They would not kill someone. They would do what they could to protect me. But I can't see them making some other innocent person have to face consequence, you know?
Yes.
Would you? I can't see your parents
no.
doing that either.
No. I mean, who knows? I mean, you
your
know.
Your mom runs him down in the car.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
no.
maybe.
Who knows?
These are things we'll never know.
Well, hopefully. Until that. Wait, Tim, you want to do like a little joke on our
yeah.
parents?
I'm going to visit my boyfriend.
I'm going to be like, hey, look, let me just pretend to push you off that bridge in California.
I would be doing so much pretending because I'd be pretending I have a boyfriend.
Oh,
COVID.
Poor Tim, COVID. Anyway, we should get to.
Okay.
Oh, so the second movie Oof. From Blumhouse. Oh. So it is called Black Box, not to be confused with the artist who sang Everybody, 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 or Strike It Up.
You're a good singer.
I love
no,
Black
I do,
Box.
I do.
But this one.
Oof. You know what? It had the makings of
a murderer.
A murder. No, it had all the elements.
I love it. Wait, are you going to say, wait, what's your famous thing?
I always say
it. Was shot beautifully.
It was shot beautifully.
Well,
the actors were good.
So I can give some context because this one was more psychological too. So, it has a man who basically has just been in an accident where his wife died and he had some brain damage and he can't remember everything.
Right.
So it starts where there's this doctor trying to get him to try these treatments.
Felicia
to get
Rashad
his
from
back.
The Cosby Show.
Felicia Rashad is
Claire
the,
Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable is the doctor who's very adamant about getting him to like try her experimental treatments where he can get his memory back. And it's sad because the wife died in the accident and he has this cute little like 8-year-old daughter who's
very
way too smart.
Way too smart. And she talks like a mature young adult, which
That's
is
the thing.
Fine.
She was adorable, but she got on my nerves because Me she too. Was too parental for being a little kid. Like
I hate kids.
Yeah, and you hate kids. So yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let's.
She was adorable, and I loved her. Great actress, but the character was just too smart for her.
Right, like
good.
they wrote her almost like
Dakota Fanning in every
yes.
movie she was in. Too
it
smart.
It was too
for her
Dakota
good.
Fanning.
Yeah. So the guy goes to Felicia Rashad, and literally that was like what made us want to watch this movie. I mean,
yeah,
Felicia Rashad.
I will say Claire Huxtable was the selling point for me because the rest of the actors they were new. They were new. And the main guy.
They were nude.
Actually, this movie had no nudity.
But there was the one, wasn't there like a shirtless guy? Wasn't he? I don't know. Anyway.
No. But who I wanted to be shirtless was the main guy's best friend, the doctor.
He was hot. Yeah.
He was hot.
I think he was in a tank top or something. Anyway.
Anyway. We
two gay men talking about harmers. Anyway.
Right, right.
So the guy goes and he's doing these crazy treatments where he's getting hypnotized and he's like remembering things that don't really make sense with what his background was supposed to be. Like he's seeing people without faces, but it like from a wedding that doesn't look like the wedding he had with his wife, from a home that doesn't look like the home he is living with his daughter.
At this point you're thinking like, oh, was he married to two women? Did he have two lives?
Yeah.
And this goes on for like 40 minutes. Like it goes on forever. And you're just kind of like, all right, like we're done with him going to Claire Huxtable, putting that thing on his head, seeing two different, like, I was like, let's speed this up.
That's the thing. The problem with this movie was the pacing. It's not so much at the,
it was a good story.
We'll get to the overall things, but I actually, as it proceeded, like I became more interested, but it just took too long. Like the thing is that, you know, you need to be able, it just could have dealt with like 20 minutes cut from it.
The Blumhouse aspect of like when he did go under with Felicia Rashad, he like there was this thing that, remember in The Exorcist when she came down the staircase with like,
yes, like a twisted up body. Yeah, right. That's another thing.
They used that joke. I mean, not joke, but effect.
Look, hilarious.
Yeah, I was like, man, look, comedy.
When under hypnosis, he also keeps seeing this twisted up person coming to like get him and stuff. And so Tim and I were thinking, I will say it kept you guessing because we're like, okay, something's going on. There's got to be some twist. Did he live a double life? Was he murdered? Did he murder his wife? Was it not an accident? So we're wondering all these things. Finally, he realizes in his hypnosis, he finally is able to see the faces. It's not his wife. It's not his daughter. And he sees himself in a reflection, and it's not him.
But it took so long to get there.
And when he wakes up, he realizes, and Felicia Rashad tells us, that basically Felicia Rashad, her son had died 2 years ago, and she literally, in Black Mirror style, downloaded his consciousness and replaced it on this new guy's brain when he came into the hospital after a car wreck. So literally, she put her son's brain into this poor guy who had come in after a car wreck and was supposedly brain dead. So it's almost Freaky Friday-ish. The guy looks a certain way, but his brain and soul is Felicia Rashad's son.
Right. And you know, I knew that like to have this big star, it's got to be more connected to her, which it was. And you know, I wanted to see her like when everything was revealed and the little girl came busting through the door and was like, my dad.
Well, but that's actually, so here's the thing. There were multiple reveals, remember? So there's that first reveal. And then you're like, okay, so the guy gets up, he realizes he's not the person he looks like. And he literally is going to just like drop the daughter that the person, his body was supposed to have, and try to go back to win over the family that he used to have.
So what he reveals then is that he was abusive to that family.
Well, that's the thing. What happens is he goes to visit the wife. First off, trying to sell that, hey, I don't look like your old dead husband, but I've got his brain.
And then
isn't
she
an
was
easy
like,
sell.
She was like, get out.
Well, first she's like, you're crazy. Then he's able to, you know, like spout out facts that only he would know. So she realizes it's him. But remember, we looked at each other because she doesn't look happy that it's him. Like,
yeah,
anyone else would be like, oh my God, my dead husband. So we put it
together.
Because
remember in Ghost, Demi Moore was like so happy that Whoopi Goldberg was talking through Patrick Swayze or vice versa that. You know what I'm saying?
It was no ghost.
It was no ghost.
Well, so she looks really uncomfortable, and then you're realizing, wait, why wouldn't she be happy? And you realize he was abusive to her.
So he looks around that apartment, and all the pictures of him are gone.
Exactly. Like, and anyone who's lost someone they love doesn't just remove every picture. Maybe a few, but never. And he realizes that they're happy he's gone. He was actually, like, bad for them. So he goes back to the hospital, and so that's the second reveal. Third reveal is he goes back to the hospital and Felicia Rashad puts him under again. And finally, you find out that the crooked, weird man is the actual man whose body he has fighting to take back over his consciousness, meaning he wasn't brain dead. Felicia Rashad just like planted the brain or consciousness of her husband. Oh my God.
I know what you're
saying.
People
are going to be so confused.
No,
I'm sorry.
Both of these films, by the way, not easy to talk about.
I'm trying.
No, you're doing a great job, but I mean like.
So Felicia Rashad had implanted her son's consciousness over someone who was not fully brain dead, and he's been fighting to take back over. So under hypnosis, they have this big violent fight between Felicia Rashad's son and the guy whose body it is. And Felicia Rashad's son is about to murder him, which would mean like murdering, getting rid of his brain forever. And then he realizes he has a flash that his wife had actually killed him and pushed him downstairs because he was such an abusive, horrible person. And he realizes he's going to let the other guy's consciousness take over, right, and he exits.
And good job. Ugh. I know. Good job, Matt.
I'm sorry.
Because that was a mouthful.
If I confused you guys, it's tough to explain.
Yeah, just watch Black Box if you want to. But, you know, I can't even recommend it.
So here's the thing. Now that I've tried to explain it, which, oh, God. It's not that I do agree that the pacing wasn't
great. It was
great.
Like, I felt like there was 40 minutes of exposition. Is that right? I was like, we get it. Like, move on.
Here's what I think. When you watch this movie, you're obviously going to draw a few parallels. Number one, Black Mirror.
It was
straight out of a Black Mirror episode. I mean, it literally was almost like what was the really famous Emmy award-winning lesbian episode?
San
Junipero.
Yeah.
Very much like that, where you can put the consciousness in someone.
But that
so
movie was
that.
Entertaining.
That was very emotional and poignant, whatever. Secondly, some parallels with Get Out, with like the hypnosis and being in like this sunken place, like their mind is somewhere, but someone else has taken over their consciousness. So literally, if you combine Get Out with Black Mirror, it had that feeling. I just feel like it could have been an hour-long Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. And you know, it was an hour and 40 minutes, which felt like 2 hours. I didn't love it, but I thought all the actors did a great job. I wasn't into it.
I thought, you know, Felicia Rashad, of course, is brilliant. The new actors were great.
I wanted her to be meaner. Didn't you? Like, I wanted there to be like a...
like, is it like she played Claire Huxtable in every movie, you know? Like.
Well, Claire Huxtable wasn't mean.
Well, wasn't she very, like, stern
with them?
No, but
she was like, no, remember the episode where Vanessa went out to go see The Wretched?
I actually didn't watch it that much.
She was like, oh, Vanessa went out to The Wretched to have the big fun.
I mean, I definitely don't know that quote.
It's the best the big episode.
I just remember, like, Bill Cosby was always, like, the jokester, and she was, like, the stern parental figure,
No, but
right?
she played off Bill. I can't believe, we should not praise Bill.
Oh, but, I wasn't. I just said he was funny.
No, but I was trying not to give him
funny
anything.
He funny and a creep.
No, he's a creep.
Yeah, well, I mean... Yeah, like, the thing is that, like you were saying, it's like she now has to do all these movies to erase Cosby Show so people don't know that.
I know,
but that's
it's
never
sad.
Gonna happen.
She's not going to get residuals. Like, some people, like, Jennifer Aniston can get Friends residuals, whereas Claire Huxtable can't.
And you know what sucks is that, so what, Cosby Show was in the 80s, Friends was in, like,
the
90s. Like, there are so many more years that Friends probably will be on, mm-hmm. so those paychecks are going to keep coming. But the difference between, I think, how I felt and you felt is that, I did think it was pretty good, but I will say there were multiple times I, like, checked the time on the movie, and I only do that when I'm like, how much longer is it? And that's not a good sign.
Right. So as far as, like, today's Halloween, I recommend The Lie any time of the year, all times of the year.
Here's the thing. I definitely recommend The Lie. If you want true horror on Halloween, The Lie isn't, like, true horror.
No,
watch
it's
the
not.
Original Halloween.
Right. Watch the original Friday 13th.
Watch Friday
13th.
No, no. But The Lie is definitely – here's the good thing about The Lie. If you have friends that are like, oh, I don't like really scary movies, or I don't like gore, I don't like that, then this is perfect for them because it's not that scary. There's definitely no gore.
And again, it's interesting that it's Blumhouse. It really is.
Well, I feel like, is Blumhouse trying to expand, like, almost like, we're not just horror, we're also like psychological thriller and
right.
genre. I feel like they're trying to do that. So they're not just like gory horror. They're also like... All different subgenres.
Right.
You know?
And you know, I appreciate that, but Black Box is, I thought it was very sci-fi. And
Black Box is definitely not your Halloween movie.
No.
Like, if you're ready to go to sleep, maybe like...
Put it on.
No.
Put it on immediately.
Say maybe an hour before you go. The Lie is something to watch with your friends on like early evening with friends who like just kind of a suspenseful type movie, not horror, right?
Absolutely.
But I guess before we end, Tim, in honor of Halloween...
shots.
Look, let's do shots. No, I feel like it just, I hate when Halloween is over because then it's
then
like,
we have to just look forward to turkey.
Well, actually, not in what I will say is for all you people who like us hate when Halloween is over, it'll never be over when you listen to Happy Archive.
Yeah, we've got an archive, so listen to all 19 before the 20th.
And know that we are constantly a work in progress. We're constantly, you know, trying to make audio better. You may have noticed a little jingle on this one.
Yeah.
We're up in the stakes.
Thank you to Matt's boyfriend because he's very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're going to do like a little thank you thing, but Jacob, my boyfriend, who also just released, actually starting in September, a podcast called Crime of Your Life, which is a really, really great, like, scripted, polished telling of different unsolved mysteries.
He's got a soothing voice that seduces me.
It's very soothing. It's very entertaining. It's very engaging. Please check out Crime of Your Life. Already he's had 3 episodes, so he's like tripled as much as we used to do in a month. And he's going to be doing so much more, but he's been helping us learn how to, you know, do something a little more professional. Right, Tim?
That's right.
Can you imagine if this was scripted? Yes, Tim. That is a good point.
There's no way with Black Box and the lie this could have been scripted.
Can you imagine? First off, again, I apologize for that horrible explanation, which probably confused people more than they knew.
I actually was understanding it more as you were telling me.
Got it.
Thank you so much for listening. Everyone have a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thanks to everyone for listening to Happy Horror Time. We're so grateful you've taken the time to listen.
We hope you'll stick with us as we review more horror movies, continue to spoil everything, and reach out to horror celebrities hoping to get them on the show.
Thanks especially to our friends and families for listening and supporting us through it all.
And special thanks to my boyfriend Jacob Randall, who's basically serving as our producer and helping us with the show. We couldn't have done this without him. Please check out Jacob's very engaging true crime podcast. It's called Crime of Your Life.
If you'd like to support Happy Horror Time, you can sign up at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. Patrons will get access to premium content like bonus episodes, additional audio, and more.
You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at Happy Horror Time. And if you'd like to contact us, email happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And
thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.